majestic. It's because it is. It's the Pigskin Preview on J98 The Boot. We are on to our last leg. We have five schools left. We are going to break down the MAFC Red Division. And we're going to start at the top of the list here with DeSoto. DeSoto, much like many of the area schools, a first-year head coach, Chris Johnson taking over the program after Doug Baker took over at Seckman. And we heard a little bit about DeSoto's week one opponent in Perryville, so let's hear about the DeSoto Dragons themselves. Will and I had the opportunity to go out there and shoot the camp, but not only shoot the camp, but they had the Army out there for their training camp as a team-building experience, and the numbers out there is what really caught me off guard.
They got a ton of guys out there that are anxious and ready to go. And when I went back there again just to kind of check out their practice, man, do they get fired up. The coaches are bouncing around just as much as the players are. I couldn't quite catch what it was, but anytime the defense made a big play, they had a little chant going and a clap, arms raised. And the coaches, they were leading the charge for it over the players. So they get fired up over there, and Coach Johnson has brought in a terrific atmosphere. And really all the players are buying in. You walk in and you just kind of feel the energy. You feel it. You go, man, this has got the recipe for a winning football team right here.
And one thing that I loved when we went out there, when you go around and you look at the staff, you talk to Coach Johnson, and this is a guy that is had his hands on Texas football for a while, and he doesn't believe that it will come here. He will make it come here. He's that kind of mentality about bringing that environment, atmosphere to DeSoto. Another thing that I liked is when you looked at the assistant staffs, there were guys that played there. You have Cody Hammond, that was a guy that played there in like 06, 07. You have John Roop that graduated in 04. You have Matt Gimmer, the softball coach, hanging around at practice. So definitely a different feel around that team coming into the season. But one thing that for Coach Johnson, you have to replace 22 graduating seniors. That's just unbelievable. So, Coach Johnson, how do you replace 22 seniors?
Definitely replacing. So when I took it over, I knew what we were graduating, knowing that you had 22 seniors that you're going to have to replace. More or less, we're going to be about 7 or 8 on offense and defense both that we had to replace. Now, we do have some very important positions coming back. You know, most notable, the quarterback's going to return. We do have Lamont Allen, who's going to be out wide as a receiver still. So we do have some important pieces in place from a skill position set. But from up front, where really, you know, games are won and lost, we're having to really rebuild and retool and find as many bodies as we can and really try to get those guys to get some cohesion sooner than later if possible. So I knew when I took the job that when you graduate 22 seniors at any classification, any school, that's a lot of seniors to lose. So there's going to be a lot of work to be done by our younger classes, no doubt.
And you heard Coach Johnson mention replacing 22 seniors, a lot of voids to fill in that kind of a situation, but doesn't have to replace the quarterback and probably what could be their best skill position player in Lamont Allen. Will, you had a chance to chat with Zach Smith. How did he look at the season coming up?
He's excited, and he, you know, this is going to be his third year under center, and that's really going to make a big difference when you have that type of experience. You know, he almost threw for 1,000 yards last year, had 8 touchdowns. He's capable of running the ball well, rushed for over 250 yards, but definitely looks like the calm, quiet leader, even though he's got a big hollowing voice as well that we can get it going. But I think the seniors, we talk about how there's not that many of them. I think there's 12 or 13, I want to say, off the top of my head, if that's right. And they graduated so many, but they're a tight-knit, close group of seniors. I had a chance to talk with all of them, you know, Zach Smith, Williamson, he's on the line, Caleb Keim, Lamont Allen. I got a chance to all those seniors, and they're all very close, you know, John Williamson and Coach Johnson. And I think that's really going to be the key for them, is to really use that leadership on those younger players and really get some extra effort from them.
And one of the things that really hurt DeSoto throughout the season last year was Zach Smith had an ankle injury, and out of necessity, they put Keim at quarterback. And didn't work out well early on. You know, you throw your running back into that the role there, and then you have to kind of balance it out, and then they would bring Smith back before he was maybe all the way ready just because there was nobody left. So for Coach Johnson, keeping Smith healthy and upright is one of the key things they've been focusing on.
We saw last year what it did to our team when Zach went down, because in a lot of cases like that, you end up having rob Peter to pay Paul. So you end up having to take a kid from a different position to fill that void at quarterback when your quarterback's not there. And we just did not have the same look when Zach wasn't back there at quarterback. So he's had an unbelievable offseason, has lived in that weight room, ran track in the springtime just to kind of keep working on his speed. His leadership qualities have just been unbelievable. So, yes, to answer that question, without a doubt, one of the most important parts for us is to make sure that he plays all 15, 16 games, whatever we can get, however far we actually can get into the playoffs, that he's back there for all of them. That's very important for us.
And for the DeSoto Dragons, an even-up season a year ago at 5-5. We talked a little bit about what the challenges are this season. 22 seniors, it seems like they've addressed that as well as you can. Zach Smith healthy and ready to go for this season. But something that Will had done throughout the training camp reports is you asked a question to a lot of the coaches that I hadn't thought to ask, but it was not only what would be a successful season, but what's the definition of success to your program. And I thought Coach Johnson handled that very well.
I think you have to, at times as a head coach, you have to take a step back and not get so wrapped up in wins and losses, but at the end of the day, that's what you're judged by. And so as much as we want to make sure that we're doing everything the right way, we are absolutely going to count wins and losses. Now, part of getting to those wins and losses is you are going to have to develop youth program. And all of that is part of success, absolutely. And so we're going to do everything that we possibly can to put everything in place to be successful. But at the end of the day, it is wins and losses. How our boys represent themselves is part of that. How we represent ourselves to the community is part of that. But we always go back to the same thing. All of that goes into the character development. All that goes into working hard.
And that was another thing, talking about working with the community. Sean mentioned that during the tape cut. There was a storm that rolled through DeSoto, and the football team did a large part of the cleanup throughout town. So that's definitely another pillar that has been installed by Coach Johnson.
Picking up those trees, and that once again goes back to Friday Night Lights, that 10 years in Texas that Coach Johnson spent down there.
Yeah, full heart.
And that's how you establish that feeling. Like, you go out and you do something like that, you know, help pick up fallen trees with the community. The community will pay it back by showing up to the next game. And, you know, our new colleague, Matt Greenwood, I'm sure can attest to it. Like, in Texas, the way they design the football stadiums and figure out the stadium capacity, you take your town's population and add the largest town you play, and it has to fill that many people because town shut down for it. And that's what they want to build in Potosi, and that's how you do it. You reach out to the community beyond just doing a fundraiser for yourselves. You do things like that, like a cleanup spontaneously after a big storm.
Agreed completely. And I think the Dragons' positive outlook as they go this year, no doubt very excited to see them play Festus Tigers. They're right there as well.
Hashtag segue. Festus Tigers coming off of a 4-6 campaign under head coach Russ Schmidt. Coach Schmidt been there since 2007 now, and they graduated kind of not the same scenario as what DeSoto had, as DeSoto lost 22 in a single graduating class. But for Festus, over a two-year span, they've lost nearly 30 seniors to graduation. You can think, okay, well, that definitely makes a couple of added challenges. But it also speaks to the value of that program to the students. If you can graduate 15 one year, 12 one year, 10 another year, you're drawing to your program. And it's definitely the head coach, Russ Schmidt, one of his philosophies is definitely family, if you've listened into the training camp report there. But after last year, they fell in the district playoffs to Hillsborough on the road. And you guys, this was a game, they were up 21-0. Early on in this one, and didn't score again until late. And Hillsborough kind of just found something different. But being 17 years old and being former football players, former athletes, having a game like that where it falls away, I mean, is it something that goes away in the offseason, does it?
Depends on how the rest of your season went, because I've been on both sides of those, and one of those happened during my senior year, so I didn't really have to worry about coming back the next year after that. But it does rip your heart out, and it stays with you for a bit throughout the season, even after the season ends, and you can respond one of two ways, and it really depended on the coach and the leaders of the team how you respond. You know, you got to come out firing with a fire under your butt the next game. Or if you don't do that, you're probably going to have the rest, a rough rest of the season.
And that sentiment echoed by Coach Rush Schmidt of the Festus Tigers about a very hungry group this season.
It's the appetite they have, the energy they have, and their willingness to allow themselves to be coached. I think that any coach would tell you, if you got a kid that's open-minded about a position change in order to put us in a position to be successful on Friday night, in order to put them in a position to be successful, that's always a good thing. And that's something we emphasized in the offseason right away, because we knew we were going to be in a position to say, hey, we need you to do something different than what you've done in the past for us, because we did graduate a kid at that spot. And they've been willing to learn and willing to make that position change for us.
And you heard Coach mentioned the thought process of behind, well, you had a kid graduate at this spot, but when you have so many over the past few years, how do you stay relevant?
It's a challenge. You know, everybody wants to be successful. And, you know, as we were talking earlier, you know, we're always doing something as coaches, football coaches, to improve the product, whether it's having staff meetings or meeting with our kids, or it's become a year-round, you know, project in order to put a product on the field to have sustained success. And I think that's the thing you got to look at, is what does sustained success look like in the long-term scope of things.
And for the Festus Tigers, what's the philosophy after graduating quarterback Jarrett Johnson, who was over 50% of the offense? What's the philosophy this season?
You know, we want to run the football. You know, that, I think that's something that the kids understand, that, you know, we want to be able to run the football, manage the clock, scrappy defense, run the football, and create turnovers and play very sound special teams in all three phases of the football game, be disciplined, and do that with a high level of enthusiasm.
And we had the opportunity, both Will and I, to attend the Festus football training camp a couple of times, and one thing that was echoed throughout from start to finish was family. From the first time that we were there to the last time that we showed up, and even when you have the opportunity to interview the players away from the coach, you almost expect it to veer away or have it differ from what that was. But that was never the case at Festus.
No, they, if anything, they spoke about it more because they had the opportunity to say, hey, you know, I'm with these guys on a regular basis. I go to school with them. You know, they talked about playing peewee football, and they're little kids, and then growing up to what they are doing now. And that's what they say. They don't refer to each other as teammates or anything. It's all about a brotherhood and brothers and family. And you know, I got your back, and I know you got mine.
And that has been the case for a lot of these guys that have been a part of the youth program. That was building a relationship back then for them with Coach Schmidt. And now it's their time, and it seems like guys like you have Elijah, you have Abe, you have so many guys up and down the roster that are seniors this year that they want to leave a mark on the program, and you can see it night in and night out. How are they going to leave a mark on the program? We'll find out Friday night when the Festus Tigers travel to play Vashon to start the 2016 season. The team that knocked Festus out of the postseason a year ago was the Hillsboro Hawks, an 8-3 campaign under Coach Lee Freeman. They're going to open up the season on the road at Afton. And this was one of the camps when I showed up to it, I was like, well, that's cool. You got your JV team practicing with your varsity. And no, those are the freshmen. They just had so many kids there. I had the assumption, and you know what assuming does. That's what I did. So definitely not the approach there. But the thought when I talked to Coach Freeman was we need to get everybody experienced, because they lost Sam Mock, quarterback, leading tackler, led the St. Louis metro area in interceptions. They lose Clayton Vasali, second leading rusher. They lose Trey Terry, leading rusher. But they've got a number of guys ready to come back, and trying to get everyone experience is one of the things that they've been focusing on from day one.
I'm really proud of them. I'm proud of their hard work. You know, we've got a group of seniors here that, you know, they work their tails off all the time, and that leadership just trickles down. And then the group of juniors coming behind them that are, you know, an extremely big group. There's about 24, 25 of them, I think, right now. So I think there was 30 when they were freshmen. So we've only lost just a few of them, which is great. You know, trying to keep those numbers out. And not only are there a lot of them, but they're a pretty talented group. So they're going to help with our depth, you know, situation that we have. And I hope that we can just, you know, we can get enough plays to get everybody their snaps and their experience.
And if you've ever seen Hillsboro High School football, from a broadcaster standpoint, your stats, they're never going to be right. Three guys come together, converge, a cloud of dust happens, a small tornado, and then the football comes away with somebody. I don't know who has it, but I'll tell you at the end of the play has been my usual philosophy. And one of the big things there is when you have a system like that, you've got to have the linemen, right?
Absolutely, and that's really where every game is won and lost. It is in the trenches. I mean, they're not the people you want to talk about the most, I guess. You know, they're not the sexiest position out there. You know, they're not the funnest to watch. But really, that's where games are won and lost, is in those trenches, and they really make a huge difference. And when you can run the ball like that, that's
and
the case.
For the Hawks, all of them are back.
And having some experience with those guys up front, especially linemen, it allows you know, some of the younger coaches to kind of sit back. And in a lot of instances, those guys that have been playing for 2 or 3 years are, I'm not going to say they're going to know more than the coach, but they're going to have experience in certain situations that might allow, you know, coach to be able to relax just for a second and then and understand kind of what we're trying to accomplish. So definitely going to help out, you know, with the experience up front.
The Hillsboro Hawks, a deep run into the postseason a year ago, being defeated by Farmington to close out their 2015 campaign. They'll open up week one Friday night at Afton. And the sentiment of are you ready to get going when you ask a guy like a Lee Freeman guy, an in-the-trenches guy. I followed this question up when we were doing the interview of right after the offensive line. So he was fired up, ready to go, and then I asked him if he was ready for Friday night.
You're a little nervous, you're a little excited, you're ready to get out there and see what these guys, you know, they've been working extremely hard, so you want to see what they're able to do. And, you know, with all that going on, you have a, you know, we've got a new group of coaches and kind of coaching your coaches as much as you're coaching your kids sometimes, and, you know, just kind of all trying to work together like a family, and there's a lot of give and take there, so just like with any good relationship, I suppose.
We'll see how that relationship unfolds with this group of Hillsboro Hawks. Friday night, they hit the road to Afton. Just a handful of schools remaining. We're going to take maybe our second to last break of the Pigskin Preview. We'll have two more schools up next on the Boot.
A Budweiser, America, and Florida Georgia Line.
I still remember our first big show. Budweiser's in the air and hearing the crowd sing our song.
That's when it really feels like America is in our hands.
And when I'm holding a nice cold Budweiser that says America on the front.
That too. Cheers.
This Bud's for you.
Enjoy responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Alpha Media invites you to enter contests and giveaways on this radio station and at MIMOinfo.com. However, to give everyone a chance, we remind you that you can only win once every 30 days. Employees of this or other media companies and members of the immediate family, spouse, children, siblings, or parents, or people living in the same household, whether or not related of such employees, are not eligible and cannot participate. All general contest rules apply and may be found at MIMOinfo.com under the station's tab. No purchase is necessary to enter any contest. It's open to all listeners, except as specified in our general contest rules.
Down to the final stretch of the Pigskin Preview for 2016 on J98, 98.5 FM, setting the stage for Friday night, week one of high school football, just days away. We've talked to you about almost every team inside the listening area. Two more teams to touch on. We'll go to Class 4, District 1 one more time and talk about the North County Raiders. Even up a year ago under head coach Dave Dallas, looking at his third year as the head coach of the program at North County. They're going to open up the 2016 season traveling to play Sekman. So for North County against Sekman, should be interesting to see what Sekman can bring to the table, what North County plans on doing this season. They had a whole lot of inconsistency over the past season. They really didn't know what to do at quarterback early on. When they figured it out, they had to switch it at week four out of necessity. We won't go too far down the line into that one. But for head coach Dave Dallas, he came in 3 years ago with the mentality of more of a detailed offense. He came from the college ranks and wanted to kind of spread things out coming into the season. And really now he's got to have a different approach because his quarterback isn't back for this season, but the one that he's got lined up, I'm pretty excited about. But I want to know who's blocking for him.
From an overall athletic standpoint, I think we're more athletic up there. From an experience standpoint, we're not as experienced. But we got guys that's played varsity football that are playing, particularly on the offensive line. You know, Brendan McClure started 8 games for us last year. Devin Scott played on the offensive side, but primarily played defense. Payson McClue played a lot of defense for us last year. Those are all guys. Devin Mason was a sophomore kid, but he'll be a junior this year. Those are all good quality players for us. So we're excited about the athleticism we have both on the offensive and defensive lines.
And for the North County Raiders, we touched a little bit about there will be a new quarterback this season. And it's going to be a pretty youthful guy. But if you watch North County baseball, you're going to be excited when I tell you that Colton Poorman likely to be the guy as the quarterback for the Raiders.
Yes, it's been a great battle. Both of those young men have done a great job. What's been difficult in the process is they're both different style of quarterbacks, and they're both different style of personalities and from a leadership standpoint. But Colton Poorman will be our starting quarterback. He's got a strong arm, possesses good leadership skills. We just need to be able to refine some of that, but we feel real good about that situation.
And for the North County Raiders, not only changes inside of the scheme, inside the team, inside of the faces around the North County Raiders, they're looking at some facility upgrades in the future, and definitely sounds like something that could bode well for the future of this program.
Yeah, we're real fortunate. We've been able to improve our stadium facility, but now we're able to improve our locker room facility and weight room facility, and it's going to be a state-of-the-art, locker room, weight room area and multi-purpose turf room area. But we're real excited about that, and it's going to be really nice. It won't be fully completed by that time, but the nuts and bolts of it will be done at that point in time.
And for the North County Raiders, they've been trending just a little bit better as far as the offensive side goes under head coach Dave Dallas. 21 points per game last year, but 24.5 allowed. So it'll be interesting to see without Dylan Cater under center, without Adam McGraw, or without Austin Riles, rather. And, they don't have a whole lot on the defensive side with Noah Rodenberg and, 41 tackles leading the team. Defense, I think, is going to be one of the linchpins for the success of the North County Raiders. But it sounds like just talking to everybody throughout the offseason, the younger guys coming up at North County are really, really going to be the catalyst for that program's continued success. But for 2016, if they want to have success, it starts week one versus Sekman.
Well, first of all, we don't know a lot about, with the transition with Coach Baker going up there from DeSoto, we'll get a chance to see them in their jamboree. But, from that transition, we don't know what to kind of expect from them a little bit. That's probably the most uneasy feeling going into that game is, the unknowns there of, what they're doing offensively and personnel and all those type of things. So, I think the number one thing is we got to go up there and be a physical football team, minimize our mistakes and just play basic fundamental football and execute. I think those are our big keys to our success,
And you mentioned all the players that need to be replaced and young players stepping up. It reminds me of what Arizona Cardinals head coach Bruce Arians has said over the past few years since he took over in Arizona, basically, next man up. Someone gets hurt, someone graduates, it's your turn now, step up, do your job.
And I imagine some of those kids, it's maybe not the best of circumstances to be thrown into it, but you're going to relish that opportunity. So it'll be interesting to see how the season unfolds for the North County Raiders as Dave Dallas leads them into his third season at the helm. And one more school for the Pigskin preview, and that is the Windsor Owls under head coach Greg Westermeyer. 2-8 campaign a year ago. They'll open up as our KJFF game of the week Friday night. They will be on the road taking on the St. Pius Lancers. So that should be a pretty good matchup. For St. Pius, both Will and I had to split their camps. He did St. Pius, I did Windsor, and we both came back with about the same sentiment. They're going to be better. They're going to be a lot better. But how's it going to happen is the question. And for the head coach of Windsor, Greg Westermeyer, it was some weight room value, but what are the early focuses for your group?
Well, right now, with our camp, and we had a big contact camp at our place, and that was successful for us. I mean, the heat really hurt the outcome as far as the amount of teams that were there. And our kids played hard, and our kids have dealt well, in my opinion, have dealt well with the heat and situations like that. We focus on our conditioning right now and making sure our fundamentals and putting our kids in the best place position and place to be successful, putting them in some situations that they can learn from and take on and progress, you know, as the season gets closer and then even throughout the season. But so there's a lot of basic fundamentals that we've gone into. And as you know, as far as our offensive defensive scheme, you know, that those things are progressing towards week one, just probably like anybody else. And, you know, our kids have worked hard and we're going to continue to try to work them hard and take it day by day. It's just, I've really looked at this whole off season, this whole preseason leading up to this season as it's a process, and it's a process, and the process of coming and working hard every day and trying to get better. Are you better when you left? Are you more better when you leave the place than you did when you got there, and so on? Through each drill or through each session or each practice, are you better now than you were then? And that's the process that we need. That's the mentality that we need. And that's what we have to have in order for it to be successful in the long run. The whole process over the product in the end is important to me right now. And that's just kind of been my focus this season and this off season, this preseason.
And the Windsor Owls, I feel like they're poised to definitely take a step forward this season, going out there and talking to guys like Brandon Fouts, Cale Ward, and then you have the massive tight end out there in Baker, and he really turned it on last season. So we'll get to find out exactly what Windsor brings to the table on Friday night. Let's set the stage, boys. What do we got coming up for Friday night, week one, 2016. Sean, we'll start with you since you and Jordan Slocum will be our guys on J98. What can we expect Friday night?
Owensville, Potosi, and, you know, I'm focusing on Potosi because they're in our listening area. I'm really excited to see that running offense that they got, as well as, you know, the mystery man, Noah Jacobson. Like I said before, obviously they got a lot of faith in this kid if they're putting him at quarterback over Price, who was the occasional quarterback last year. But Price is a running back. I'm also very excited to see what he's got in store for this season.
It definitely will be an exciting one. So that's the J98 game. We'll have Owensville at Potosi, and on AM 1400 KJF, Will will have the call with...
We got ourselves the St. Pius Lancers, and they are hosting the Windsor Owls. We just heard from Coach Greg Westermeyer. Another thing to note, going to be a special night for the St. Pius dads as well. They're hosting a special pregame tribute to them, and they're going to let the dads interact. But in terms of the game itself, going to be an interesting matchup. These two teams haven't played each other in a long time in the regular season. They matched up a couple times in the Jamborees in recent years, but in regular season action, have not played in recent memory. And the big thing I'm interested in is I'm very anxious to see the St. Pius quarterback, Luke Lampros. I want to see this transfer kid and see how that he interacts on that offense. And then for Windsor, you got a lot of returning talent, which is going to be the most intriguing thing is how much did they grow.
And explosive.
Explosive, yeah, exactly. Baker, he blew up for a couple games last year. Interested to see if they can incorporate him on more of a consistent basis as well. But you got Brandon Fouts, the running back. Cale Ward is returning. I think it's going to be a pretty good matchup between those two teams and one that's going to ignite some fan bases a little bit as well.
And our third radio feature to open up the high school football season on week one for AM 800 KREI. That's where the Farmington Knights reside on Friday nights, and they'll open up the season traveling north to Arnold to take on the Fox Warriors. And that one, I think, really could be a deadlocked, kind of just gritty type of football game with you have two coaches of similar philosophies, get in the weight room, get tough. And it's definitely going to spill out onto the field this Friday night. So that one should definitely be stellar. And then we'll have the Central Rebels as our Web TV exclusive coming up this Friday night. If you want to watch the Central Rebels football game this Friday night, you most certainly can. We will have them on Web TV at MIMOinfo.com as they will be hosting Sullivan. So that's our lineup. J98 will feature Owensville at Potosi. On KJF, it's Windsor at St. Pius. On AM 800 KREI, Farmington travels to play the Fox Warriors, and the Web TV exclusive will be Sullivan at Central. Anything else, gentlemen?
Incredibly excited to get things going here. I know all the players out there, coaches out there, after talking to them, they're a little done with practice. They've had enough of practice. They're trying to get out on the field and see how those games are going. And I'm equally as excited to check out Jefferson County, St. Francis County, and all of our area listening teams in terms of this football season.
I picked up my blank two deeps the other day. I've already started filling it out. Yeah, I'm excited for football to finally get started. I want to see some people hit some people. I love baseball, but come on, let's get a little violence in the sports now.
Did you ever think you would want for Christmas a blank two deep?
Maybe not for Christmas, because at that point, at least high school football season's done. So I'd be a little disappointed with that for Christmas. But, you know, I kind of feel like an artist staring at a blank canvas right now.
Hey, we have set the stage for you. This has been the Pigskin Preview. I want to give a big thanks to one Jordan Slocum for doing a lot of our research behind the scenes. Thanks to Sean jumping in and helping us get through the Pigskin Preview. Much appreciated.
Anytime.
And thanks to Will Cheshire. He gives me the finger wag.
Yeah, one more thing. Just want to remind everybody out there, video training camp reports. If you haven't seen yours yet, it's because... well, it's not quite ready to be released, and we are holding on to those and trying to hold on to that excitement as we get things going these last couple of days. So definitely be sure to check the Twitter at MimoInfoSports and at KJF Sports as well, because those will be released in a flurry. And there are obviously some already released as well if you've checked our website or social media account. But just a reminder to watch those video training camp reports as you guys get all set and ready for the start of the 2016 season.
I'll go from Will giving me the wag of the finger, the tip of the cap to you. We appreciate you joining us for the Pigskin Preview as we set the stage for Friday night. Our coverage will begin Friday night at 6:15 with the Fleegs Equipment pregame show. We will, of course, bring it back to the studio for halftime of Friday night, and we will have the End Zone show brought to you by Home Pools and Spas this year. And that will all get started 6:15 Friday night.
They're going to hold for the final shot of the half. We're down to 5 seconds to play. Inside out they go. Casey for three. You know it. Lady Rebels stretch it out right before the break. Buzzer sounds. Central with a 14-point lead at 29-15. 3, 2, 1. The Central Lady Rebels have done it. They've won their first ever state championship game, and they do it in dominating fashion over Cardinal Ritter, 55-19.
Clark, who's been on fire, the three, bang! And Missouri extends it on the West Clark three.
Just in front of the 10-foot line, Jackie Versman pounds it. They blocked Holthouse that time! Both of them got upstairs and sent it right back to her. 21-18, St. Vincent leads in the first set.
The pitch to Mackenzie Caroline, swinging a ground ball, base hit up the middle. Mackenzie Caroline has done it again. She hits her team to the state championship with her third straight walk-off RBI base hit. It's unbelievable. West County is going to the state title game.
You've been listening to a presentation of Regional Radio Sports.